We are back for another great episode, man. Here, your boy LQ, Mr. Real Deal Fantasy, and of course, the mass performer, Mr. Matt Okada himself, man. We got a great show today.
Yeah, we had a great show last week, and now we're carrying it on to quarterbacks and tight ends, which I love talking about, so it should be fun.
Oh, yeah, man. They got to get some love, too. I wasn't going to leave them out. You know, sometimes, you know, tight ends, they can get cut short because there's only really five relevant guys to talk about. But that's what we're going to dive into. There's more to talk about with the tight ends. And, of course, with the quarterbacks, man, there is going to be so much fluctuation outside of that top five. So there are guys that we need to basically stamp down if we're going to be in or if we're going to be out. So it's the are we in or are we out QB tight end veterans only that we're going to be talking about today. And man, let's just jump into the fantasy news, man. I mean, look, the fantasy streets are quiet right now. Camp is 4 to 5 weeks away. I mean, look, football is next month, but it's a dead time right now when it comes to fantasy football and any NFL news. But the little news that we did get, Matt, is that, you know, Cam Ward is already emerging as a leader. Like, he's already turning heads in the mini camps, in the building, you know, the coaching staff just talking very positive about him. But what are the year one expectations for him in fantasy?
I don't think they're great. And I'll you know, give him his due up front. I do think he's a good leader, and I think he's a good quarterback. I liked him as a prospect. He's not the number one overall prospect that we've had in many other years where we expect this guy to be generational or even fantasy landscape changing, but I think he is good. The problem is the team around him is not good. They do not have much going on over there. So he's going to be throwing to, you know, a disaster of late round rookies and Chigakonkwos that we've kind of wanted to break out, but
I
like Chigakonkwo to break out last year.
Not how you just delivered that. Not how you just delivered that.
He's fine, but he's not, you know, Trey McBride or Brock Bowers. He's not going to help elevate his quarterback to QB1 fantasy potential. So I think that it's possible that if things go decently well for Cam Ward because he's talented, he could be fantasy relevant in two QB leagues, have some QB1 weeks now and then. Maybe he'll be a fun daily play a few times, but I just do not think his weaponry works, especially for his like gunslinging style where he wants to sling the rock and ideally have talented receivers who can go up and get it. For now, that is just not the case. So I think we could see like 20 touchdowns, 15 picks, and less than 3,500 yards or something like that. I think it could be messy in year one. I think we'll see some flashes, but for fantasy, I would be staying away unless you're in two QB leagues.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think it's going to be one of those rookie campaigns that we're just going to be happy that he was able to put something on tape, something positive to build on for year two, but he does not, like you said, have the weapons around him. I mean, Calvin Ridley, yeah, we can hope for the best that he be the wide receiver one that he could be, but we talked about him on the previous episodes, man. There's still question marks if he could deliver as that wide receiver one of once upon a time where he was posturing that coming out of Atlanta. So more so looking at Cam Ward, I'm glad that he's turning heads during minicamp. The leadership is there. He has everything that you want from a rookie quarterback coming in, so I'm rooting for him in real life, but for fantasy, I'm probably going to stay far away. But in other news, man, we got some tight end news, man. I mean, look, tight ends matter. So there's a tight end that was once upon a time creeping in that top five just based on his importance of his roster. And this is Dallas Goedert for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, it was reported that Dallas Goedert could see more ball under the new offensive coordinator. But are we buying that just based on what we've seen in previous years with this offense of him kind of fade out as the third, fourth option at times? I mean, are we interested in Dallas Goedert in 2025? Could he be a tight end one?
Laquan, I don't care if you offer me a BOGO discount. I don't care if it comes with a free entry to the Best Ball Millionaire. I am not at all interested in Dallas Goedert for any price. Listen, you mentioned like he has had this position in the past where we thought maybe this guy can break out into that top five range and be one of those elite tight ends. And he's just never done it. His best finish is tight end 10. And that includes four seasons for the record in which the new offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo, I think is how you say it,
was
the pass game coordinator in Philly. So he wasn't necessarily calling the plays per se, but he's setting up the passing offense to a degree. And Dallas Goedert was what he was, which was a useful for real life, real NFL terms for his team asset, but not a fantasy stud and not anybody that I have any interest in with any upside. I think he has like safe-ish tight end 12 to tight end 18 kind of vibes, but yeah. I'm incredibly uninterested in drafting that. If you're going for somebody in that ADP range, I'd rather go for someone who has upside to break out higher than that. Like, listen, there's going to be pitchforks and torches from myself for saying this, but I'd rather have Kyle Pitts than Dallas Goedert.
Oh my God. Get out of here now. No,
listen,
podcast
over. The
chance
is small, but is there still a chance?
Ladies and gentlemen, do not draft Kyle Pitts in 2025. Let him sit on the waivers and let him earn a roster spot. We got to stop doing this with the tight ends, and I'm glad we're talking tight ends today. So we're going to just put a pin in that and get back to Kyle Pitts of why you shouldn't be drafting him. You know what? We're going to add him to the rundown after the break, by the way, because there needs to be some ironing out. Because the fantasy streets, there's people that are hyping this train back up, trying to sell tickets to get back on the Kyle Pitts train. No, I'm good. Stop it. Let's move on before we get too crazy. But Deontay Johnson's been in the headlines recently, man. I mean, from him making his podcast appearance and going out there speaking publicly about, you know, his reasoning of not wanting to go in the game for the Baltimore Ravens. But he also mentioned something that kind of like made me go, huh? Like, Deontay Johnson thinks Kenny Pickett will win the starting job. So, like, does this make you feel a little different about the Browns pass catchers? Like, does Deontay Johnson, Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku, do they get a bump up with Kenny Pickett?
I mean, it depends on where you set the original line. I think a lot of people set the original line at Joe Flacco. And if you're doing that, then no. I do not think Kenny Pickett is a bump up from Joe Flacco at this point. For fantasy purposes for their receivers specifically. Now, interestingly enough, it might be a better choice for this team to try to run Kenny Pickett out there and see what he can do, because we all know what Joe Flacco is at this point in his career. Yeah. And in fairness, it's like this team isn't winning anything. So just try some stuff, throw some spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. But in terms of fantasy, Flacco has had some stretches in recent years of, hey, I'm willing to throw the ball everywhere and anywhere and as many times as you want. That's good for fantasy. Kenny Pickett is not that, has not been that. I don't think he has the excitability for fantasy purposes that Flacco would bring. But having said all that, I wasn't even in on any of these guys with Flacco. I think the Flacco bump itself was a little bit of a mirage, and that I was so out on any of these guys. Part of it is just the fact that whoever does get picked of this quarterback crew, I don't trust to be good. The other part is just that we don't know who's going to get picked, and it's probably going to be messy, mixed. I wouldn't be surprised if they change quarterbacks three times during the year. None of that is good for the offense. I think this is just a massive stay away situation, really, across the offense in general. I mean, like, I'll take some Judkins because I think he's going to get a lot of touches, and I might take some Njoku because the tight end position dries up real quick, as we'll talk about, but. Other than that, I'm very, very out, especially at like price on Jeudy. Very uninterested.
Yeah, I think Judy's price is going to be up and down as the summer approaches, because we're going to start hearing reports of the starting quarterback and who it can be and who it will be. But like you said, I think it's more so of a stay away. You don't want to get involved with that, because one, we don't know if Kenny Pickett could support more than one target. And that one target, we don't even know who the one target's going to be. We don't even know who's going to be the top dog there. It could be Njoku. It could be Deontay Johnson. It could be Jerry Jeudy. Just with these question marks, with bad quarterback play, doesn't make me excited to go to the draft board and take them off and be like, yeah, you know, I came away with Jerry Jeudy and it's top 25 season. No, that's not anywhere near the vibes, you know, in Cleveland. So stay away. I'm in on Quinshon Judkins. Very, very late round, like dart throw. Dylan Sampson, baby. We're gonna get that 1-2 punch, but we'll say that for another episode. You know, we'll get into that duality of backfields. Like, I definitely think, you know, there is some interesting stuff to talk about there. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we got to pay the bills, man. So we'll get back, and then we're going to jump into are we in or are we out with the QB veterans and the tight end veterans.
This podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million and get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball $15 million headliner contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-best-ball, sponsored by DraftKings.
Hey, and we are back. We had to pay the bills, Okada, man, and we are definitely sponsored by DraftKings. If you don't know, now you know, the crown is yours. So let's jump into are we in and are we out, and we're going to start with the quarterbacks, my boy. Now, there's a quarterback that is here, number one on the rundown. I am very, very scared about taking him off the draft board. So I am going to ask you, are you in or are you out on Baker Mayfield, QB7 in the eighth round?
Ooh, this is a rough one for me because I like Baker Mayfield. I liked him last year. I think he's an underrated quarterback and has been, and I was really happy to see his breakout. However, I am squarely out at this ADP, Laquan. This is crazy high, and there's a reason for it. So I do this article series for 4 for 4 where I break down touchdown rates and touchdown outliers for each position, and there's a bunch of data that goes into it. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield is one of my top candidates to regress in 2025. He had a 7.2% touchdown rate last year. For those of you who know, like 5% is very good, slightly above average, or like good above average, like 4.5%.
That's like Aaron Rodgers, Packers days.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers will get a little above that sometimes. League average is like closer to 4.5 or so. Baker skyrocketed last year, and some of that may have been his offensive coordinator, who's not there anymore. Some of that might have been just luck, which happens year to year. There's a lot of touchdown luck that occurs. But if you take his attempts and you apply a more standard league average and his average touchdown rate to those attempts, he should have thrown 15 fewer touchdown passes last year. And he also hit a career high in pass attempts, which I don't think we should expect to happen again. So I would expect him to drop from 41, which is where he ended up last year, down to like maybe the high 20s, which is where he normally is. Maybe clock in around the low 30s if things go really well, but he's going to lose a lot of fantasy points off of that. And I think that the math, I trust the math. The math rarely lies. This is an instance where I think we can trust it especially hard. And it's just like an ADP problem. I still think he's going to be good, but he's going ahead of Kyler Murray, Bo Nix, Justin Fields, Brock Purdy. I might want Dak Prescott over him. I'm really rising on Dak Prescott lately. The price is just too overinflated based off what he did last year, and there's no way I can be in at that price. So I'm out on Baker.
Yeah, man. I'm out as well. And we're agreeing. We're starting the show off right. We're agreeing to be out on Baker Mayfield at cost because, again, the talent is in the room. It's there. The running game, it definitely helped him out this past season to be able to be efficient and to be able more to open things up on that offense. Liam Cohen ain't there no more. So it's one of those things where I'm looking at QB7 in the eighth round for Baker Mayfield. I don't know, man. I think this is where we're at, where the dead zone begins or ends or wherever it's at. It's there because it's like, I can wait on the Justin Herbert. I can wait on a Brock Purdy. I could wait on the Dak Prescott, and you're going before Kyler Murray and Bo Nix. It just seems like it's real nasty work here, where it's like, I don't like that roster build there in that eighth round, taking a Baker Mayfield. I'd rather pivot to other positions. We spoke about this on the last episode and the episode before that of how to attack the draft. You don't want to make these mistakes in the middle of the draft, because this can change the course of how you finish building the rest of your roster. So we are out on Baker Mayfield at cost. Ain't got nothing to do with talent. Baker's that guy. He can go out there and bowl, but we are out at cost.
Yep.
Next one. This one is getting a lot of buzz, and I know his ADP is not going to sit tight. It's Justin Fields, QB 10, ninth round, a round later from Baker Mayfield. And we just spoke about some other guys, you know, that we named off. And I think there is a huge risk here with Justin Fields of where I stand, but I'm curious to know if you're in or you out on Justin Fields.
If you've been following me this offseason, following what I write, following what I say, you'll already know the answer to this question, which is that I am in on Justin Fields. Now, that doesn't change the point that, as you mentioned, there is high risk here, because the other guys you're drafting in this range do not have a very high chance of just losing the starting job out of nowhere, which, let's not sugarcoat it, could happen to Justin Fields. He's on a short-term deal. It's basically a prove-it deal. Having said that, it is an expensive prove-it deal, and the team, the front office, the coaching staff, has expressed confidence that they believe, A, he can be the franchise quarterback, B, he can have that, like, Baker, Sam Darnold-esque late breakout sort of thing that we've seen in recent years from a few different guys, those ones being included. This is based off direct quotes, by the way, from their front office. And I believe them, and I believe in Fields. So for at least this year, I expect him to hold the starting job the entire year. If he does that, he is guaranteed to beat this ADP. He is way too valuable as a rusher, and he has improved as a passer in recent years. Like, pretty much every year, he's gotten a little bit better. Over the last 3 years as a starter, 18.8 fantasy points per game. That's seven over that span. And that's on it, probably on the low end of what we could expect if he gets a proper full year as a starter with a couple decent weapons and the rushing ability that he has. It is, you know, risky taking him here in the ninth round. If you wanted to play it safe, if you want to play safe with your draft picks, which, fair to you, you know, sometimes that's a strategy, you can go Dak or Goff or Herbert, who you mentioned, a round or two later. But I think the chances that those guys are top six or top five are much lower than the chances that Justin Fields hits that bar as long as he's a starter. And I expect him to be the starter all year. So that's what I expect from him in fantasy. I think he's underrated.
So here's the thing.
Hit me.
You said it right. It's a gamble. There's a risk, because again, if I take Justin Fields off the board in the ninth round, I'm most likely going to have to get a quarterback a round or two later, because I have to secure that risk there. And I feel like when you're double tapping on the quarterback position, you better have that security blanket as your guy. It better be a Dak. It best be a Justin Herbert. It best be one of those guys that can go out there and throw more than 30 touchdowns. Because we've seen Justin Fields, you know, he's not the best passer. Yes, he's improving, but he ain't going out there throwing for 3,500 yards. He's going to live in that 2,800 yard mark, and you're going to have to bank on a 2022 performance where he had over 1,000 yards. This is something that's on the table for him, but it's not guaranteed. That's why I feel as though there's a guy I'd rather wait on very late. He's going undrafted, and that is Daniel Jones. Yep. I'm going to stomp the ground until people hear me. The fantasy streets need to wake up. If you were scared like me about taking Justin Fields off the board in the ninth round, I'm waiting for another mobile tactic guy that can give us 700 yards on the table. It may not be 1,000, but he's in the system that 60% of Anthony Richardson runs last year were by design. He led the league. 46% was Daniel Jones in his short time there in New York. So there is some type of fit here for Daniel Jones. So if you don't like Justin Fields, you can get a Danny Dimes. He don't have a season under 60% of completion percentage. And we just saw Anthony Richardson put out 47 last season. So that's just my case there. We've seen Daniel Jones as a better passer. So I'm going to go with the guy that's a better passer who also has that mobile upside. I already made the case for Daniel Jones. He's not on the rundown, but we can skip to the next guy because this is where I'm very curious because I just took him in a mock draft, not your mock draft that we're doing right now, which, you know, we definitely need to be looking out for that article because I have to explain myself on one of the picks. But
explain yourself.
But Jordan Love, right? Now, some folks are saying that he took a step back this last season. It may look that way. I don't want to cop pleas for him or make excuses for him. But at QB 17, Okada, in the 11th round, does this seem odd to you?
It does. And honestly, the way you just teed it up is exactly how I'm looking at Jordan Love this season. Like, I'm not particularly a Jordan Love truther. I think he's good, not great. I don't think he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. I don't think he's going to break out to be one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. But QB 17 ADP is wild. He's going in the same range as J.J. McCarthy, who we've never seen on an NFL field. Admittedly, I like McCarthy a little bit, but this is basically his rookie season. I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
QB 5 in 2023, Jordan Love. QB 17 last year in what you mentioned a lot of people see as a down year. Romeo Doubs and Luke Musgrave missed a ton of games combined. Matthew Golden didn't even exist. I mean, he existed in Texas, but he didn't exist here.
Yeah.
So he has an even better wealth of target options, which he has had before, obviously, but now has a first-round receiver to add to it. He's got the talent to be a borderline QB1, but he's going at QB 17. I don't really see how this happens. I guess it's probably just there's a bunch of names that people like better in that fringe QB1 range. And I think a lot of people would probably consider Love like in the same tier as the guys going at QB 13 or 14 or maybe even 12. So it's less of like the QB 17 number, which sounds really bad, and more of he's in a tier that's past the locked and loaded QB1s. If that's the case, fair enough, but then you're getting the cheapest one in that tier in Jordan Love. That seems like a smart move to make. So it would be nice if he would lock in some rushing upside. A couple years ago, he had 250 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground, which was very nice. That's how he got the part of how he got that QB5 finish. Last year, he did absolutely nothing on the ground. So that would be nice if he could lock that in a little bit. But he's had a very good touchdown rate both years as a starter. He's got the weapons. I don't see how he doesn't finish ahead of this ADP and likely finish right around like QB12 in fantasy points.
I think I could deal with that. I could deal with that getting him this cheap. But let me ask you, if we go back to Justin Fields, are you double tapping if Jordan Love is there later? Then you have to pay that price for Dak or anything else. Like, what if Dak and Herbert and all the names that we've named are off the board? Do you feel comfortable with a Justin Fields, a mobile quarterback with a Jordan Love, with that upside for the touchdowns and yards?
It depends on the league settings, the draft, and the roster and all that. Like, when you're going for a second quarterback, if you have 6 bench spots, if you're in a very normal, like, work redraft league, where you don't have a lot of bench spots and the waiver wire is going to be really nice, I'm probably just like not taking a second quarterback and streaming off the waiver wire if Justin Fields were to disappear. If that's the strategy I go, is to take Fields. I am taking someone, I think it's as late as possible. I kind of like maybe the idea of going Jackson Dart, because if Fields loses his job, maybe that's around the time that Jackson Dart gains the job. But I still, though, I'm likely not double tapping unless I have really, really deep roster situation. Or in best ball, obviously, you want to have three-ish, usually 2 or 3, depending on who your guys are. If it's Fields, almost certainly 3. Then I'm looking in this range, probably. If I was in best ball, I'd be very interested in adding a Jordan Love to a Justin Fields roster and then picking up one other guy late.
That's wild, man. Jackson Dart, and look how you put that cloud over New York, man, aka New Jersey already, man. You talking about Justin Fields losing the job and then Jackson Dart gain it and it's all bad in Giants Nathan? It has to be all bad if these things happen, but I do like the strategy, though, because Jackson Dart is going to go damn near undrafted. You could put him on the watch list. Like, nobody's going to draft him in your work league, your home leagues, or any redraft league that you're in where it's one quarterback. I like that strategy just to sit back, wait, and put him on the watch list or even stash him if you do have the bench spots. But again, Jordan Love at QB 17 just seems so odd to me to where like, okay, maybe it's there for a reason. But like you said, he just might be just in that tier of the high end QB twos that are just in that range. But our last guy, I like to call him Trevor Mid-Lawrence. It seems to be sticking with some folks. But I'm just speaking all facts and truth. We have not seen that upper tier of quarterback play. But at QB 19 in the 12th round, Okada, are you in or are you out on Trevor Mid-Lawrence?
So this one's interesting because, as our listeners may know, I made the case for both sides of Lawrence a couple episodes ago. The judge in that case sided with the prosecution. They were, at least on the arguments I presented, they were not convinced. I am convinced at this ADP. This is very similar to Jordan Love. I'm not a particular Trevor Lawrence fan. I said in the case against Trevor Lawrence that I think he's bad. I don't know if I actually believe that. Maybe he's more mid than bad. You might have the right moniker for him. But to the very best, I do not think that he is the, you know, prince who was promised that we were supposed to have gotten, which, by the way, is his nickname on PFR.
That's his nickname for real.
It's wild. But he was the QB7 in 2022. He was the QB12 in 2023. He was the QB11 through 9 weeks before injury last year. None of that with Travis Hunter. None of that with year two Brian Thomas, which should be theoretically a little bit better, more mature than year one Brian Thomas. None of that with Liam Cohen, who just made Baker Mayfield the QB4. It feels to me, despite my misgivings about how talented Lawrence is, like you are getting a guaranteed low-end QB1 with mid-range QB1 upside if he breaks out with the pieces that he has to break out with, but you're getting it at low-end QB2 prices. I just, like, am I excited about having him as my QB1? Probably not. But is he going to be a sufficient QB1 if I want to wait, if I want to go late round QB? I think absolutely. If I'm going late round QB and I'm just punting the position, Trevor Lawrence is probably one of my favorite picks because I think he puts up good enough numbers and maybe has the potential to break out to a little better than that.
All I'm going to say is if Liam Cohen cannot fix Trevor Mid-Lawrence and turn him into Trevor top-tier Lawrence, we are going to have a problem because how this man is paid, he's paid like a top-five quarterback right now. He's up there in them prices. You should not be up in those conversations with that price tag, even though you were the most valuable player on your team, but you ain't playing like the most valuable player in the league. So we're just going to leave it there for Trevor Mid-Lawrence. You need to step up, show out. And Liam Cohen, you got a project on your hands. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back to talk about the tight ends. Tight ends matter, people, man. Like, it don't need to be a premium. I like the standard scoring for the tight ends. There's guys that could be productive. But let's go pay the bills with DraftKings.
This podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million and get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the best ball $15 million headliner contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-best-ball, sponsored by DraftKings.
And we are back. Pay the bills. The crown is yours, DraftKings. Make sure you guys sign up this season. That is a hell of a contest, Okada. So I can't wait to get my entry in to punch my ticket to $15 million, man. And you already know I'm going to be rocking with Bo Nix, right? Bo Nix is going to be on my body. I don't know about you, because you best believe it is Nix tape season.
You would be very pleased to know, Laquan, that in two best ball drafts I have going on right now as we speak, I have drafted Bo Nix and RJ Harvey in both of them.
Ooh, that boy just double tapped his ticket all the way to gold, man. That is awesome to hear. That is awesome to hear. But listen, let's jump into these tight ends, because we got the rundown, and these tight ends here, looking at this, I was kind of like drawn back of like some guys that are just not being talked about right now. Like, we got to iron this out. We got to help the fantasy streets out of what to do with these guys. The first tight end we're going to be talking about, are you in or are you out on Dalton Kincaid at tight end 14 in the 12th round?
Okay, I had to go back and forth on this a few times, Laquan, and I've been back and forth to some degree on Dalton Kincaid these past couple of years, because I really liked him after his rookie year. I felt like he was a potential big breakout, got one of the guys who could ascend to that true, true elite tier, and then he did a whole bunch of not doing that, including over stretches that Dawson Knox was out, and he had a real chance to. Having said that, for this year, where I landed is that I am in on Dalton Kincaid specifically as part of a 1-2 late round tight end double tap. Ooh. I am not down to pick him as a backup to a stud, because I think he's going too early to pick him as a backup. I'm not down to pick a backup tight end this early. I'm also not down to pick him as my tried and true trusted only starter, because I just think he's way too unreliable. However, I am down to pair him with someone where I get the potential upside of Kincaid if things go right for him and in Buffalo. But if they don't, I have somebody like an insurance policy to fall back on. So something like David Njoku, who we talked about earlier, who I think will be highly involved in this Browns offense, though bad though it may be. Maybe one of the rookies who are going right around this range, like QB 10 to 12, Colston Loveland or Tyler Warren could be interesting picks, especially because if it takes them a little bit of time to learn the curve of NFL rookie tight ends, and then they start kicking in fantasy points, maybe I can roll Dalton Kincaid out there in the meantime. Maybe I get a little bit of a combo platter by doing that. He can't seem to find the end zone. I don't know why. It's really rough for him. He may well just be allergic to it. And he saw just 75 targets in 13 games last year, which isn't particularly great. That was fewer than his rookie year. But I think he's talented. He still has Josh Allen at the quarterback position, which you can't get much better than that. And he does not have much competition for targets. So if he were to break out in year three, which let's all remember, that used to be the norm. Okay.
Yeah.
I know Brock Bowers and Sam LaPorta have broken our image of
Trey McBride. It was year two where they might. I don't think we can have that same mold anymore. It has to change.
Yeah, it could be. But if Dalton Kincaid somehow finds his footing in year three with that quarterback and that offense and the talent he has flashed, I think he could be of huge value. So if I can pick up him and a similarly cheap insurance policy, I'm down to do that. What do you think?
I'm out. And here's why. Now, I'm out for
disagree.
This is our first one. And it took us a while. It took us five players to get to this point. But I'm out because, one, Joe Brady. Now, with Joe Brady taking over the sticks last season, we saw a shift. You know what I mean? Like, we saw this offense be more developed as a offense that's going to spread it out. Like, everybody's going to eat. Like, everybody ate. You know what I mean? And Dalton Kincaid, when he ate, which was the 75 targets, caught less than 60% of his catches, man. That is a huge red flag for me. Like, how do you go from 80% catch rate to freaking 58%? That doesn't look good to me. That looks like something's wrong. You know what I mean? And this is with Dawson Knox missing time. So it's not like you're sharing the field. It's not like you're sharing the role. And listen, Josh Allen, it's no secret, he loves targeting the slot. there's times when Kincaid is lined up in that slot and they're not connecting. So I think more so what you were saying is like, I don't feel comfortable as my trust all be all, you know, start and forget tight end one. I don't even feel good if I was to take a David Njoku or even an Evan Engram off the board, because they have risk in their own little ways of where like you're already taking a double tap risk with Dalton Kincaid. You could be sitting there ashed out with no tight end all season long. That waiver wire going to look real nasty out there. And I'm telling you now, you're going to end up with a Tyler Higbee or something like that. And that's not going to be good for you each and every week. So I just feel as though, man, I got to be out. I got to avoid this 12th round of looking at tight ends. I need to address it before I even get to the 12th round to where I could just feel safe, solid, and have that type of upside that we love to talk about with these tight ends. So we're out on Mr. Kincaid. But next, this is a guy that has just been super quiet. And I understand that the Cowboys, they just got George Pickens, but Jake Ferguson, Fergie season, tight end 17 in the 13th round. Are you in or are you out?
Okay, this one was another interesting one because on first glance, I was pretty out on Jake Ferguson. I was like, good gracious, his year was terrible. I remember thinking he was like kind of a sleeper to be pretty good last year, and then he was awful. Mm-hmm. However, it's always important to look at the reasons that things happen in fantasy and not to just blanket color the raw season totals of a player and carry that over to the next year. As we might remember, Dak Prescott got hurt last year and he missed the latter half of the year. Through week 9, when Dak was playing, Jake Ferguson's pace was 92 catches for 811 yards. Excuse me? Yes, please. So we look at the whole year, we say, well, this was no good. But if we break it up into action, what actually matters, which was when his starting quarterback was playing, he was actually incredible. Now, his pace over that span was also 0 touchdowns. So once again, similar to Dalton.
That's the big issue here, ladies and gentlemen.
What is going on with these guys? Tight ends are supposed to be good in the red zone. I'm not sure why he was incapable of scoring touchdowns. That being said, in complete fairness, if you're logging 92 catches and 811 yards, even if you score literally 0 touchdowns, which wouldn't happen, you would outperform tight end 17 ADP. So to me, that sounds pretty exciting. Now, obviously, George Pickens will eat into that production a little bit. I don't think he's going to see 92 catches and 811 yards with George Pickens in town. But Dallas still has no reliable run game. They're still going to have to rely, in my opinion, on the pass very heavily. The year before last, Jake Ferguson was a tight end 8. I don't see any particular reason why that's not possible again in 2025. And if he continues to be as involved as he was with Dak last year, but does manage to find the end zone a little bit, he could be a legitimate tight end 1 at an unbelievably cheap value. So if I end up waiting, or if I want a double tap, like we talked about earlier, with a cheap, cheap guy, Jake Ferguson might be one of the ones to consider. Sleeper tight end, but maybe an interesting one.
You know the difference between him and Dalton Kincaid? Like, they both have competent quarterbacks. They have QB1s. They have guys that could distribute the ball through the offense and get it to their tight end. And they are a valuable target to this, you know, to this quarterback. But Jake Ferguson, he's on the team, like you said, that doesn't have a run game. And Dak has found a lot of success targeting Jake Ferguson if he's the one or two of the offense. It doesn't matter. So it's like one of those things. We just need to catch up on the touchdowns. And with adding George Pickens, it does create more scoring opportunities. It makes CeeDee Lamb have some of that weight off his back while you still have Jake in the middle of the field still operating as the tight end that we known and loved last season, where he was on pace to have a healthy tight end one season. It's just that when things start to break down, where CeeDee gets hurt, Dak gets hurt, this offense loses confidence. It's a whole mess. It's a lot going on over there in Jerry's world. It's a circus right now. So when I see this at tight end 17, this is a guy that has proven to us that he has over a 70% catch rate, reliable hands. The touchdowns will come as the scoring opportunities will come with the more efficient Cowboys offense. So I am so in on Jake Ferguson. Like, that is one of the big deals here of sitting that late in the rounds, or where like damn, I can get this tight end that could perform as a tight end one some weeks when the weeks spike. So yeah, we are so in. Now getting to the next guy. I got to hear you. Evan Engram, tight end eight, ninth round. This is expensive a little bit for him. Coming back from injury, by the way, disclaimer. But are you in or are you out, Okada?
This is a bit expensive. And I will open with this, Laquan. I have not said it yet. I have saved it. I am almost exclusively forcing elite tight end in my drafts for 2025. I wrote an article that you can find on FTN which is literally titled "Draft a Top Three Tight End or Else." That is the name of the article. So wherever possible, I am smashing Bowers, McBride, or George Kittle. However, in the rare cases that that doesn't happen, Evan Engram is my number one target. I am in on Evan Engram. And here's why. You know, we had a little bit of a rocky career in New York. One really good season and then a bit of a mess. Obviously, the whole offense was a mess. The quarterback situation was a mess. Don't know how much of that we can blame on Evan Engram. In his 3 years in Jacksonville with who we can label as a mid quarterback, but good enough to support pass catchers to some degree.
Yeah.
His 17-game pace over those 3 years is 121 targets, 93 catches, 828 yards, and 4 touchdowns. This is not a 9-game sample like Jake Ferguson with Dak Prescott, Laquan. This is 3 years, 2.5 because he missed some with injury, but 3 seasons of production by Evan Engram, elite volume, elite catch totals. And now he's going to Denver, where he has arguably, it's no argument for you, I know, but I'll say arguably a better quarterback in Bo Nix. He's got a much better offensive mind than what he's dealt with in the rotation of Jacksonville Sean Payton, who's obviously made tight ends mega before in fantasy. There is no true target hog stud in this receiving core. I think a lot of people are really in on Courtland Sutton because he had a big season last year because there was no one else to throw to. I don't think he's a volume guy. I don't think he's a 130, 140 target guy, which happened for him last year. I think he lives in the 110 to 120 target range, scores a lot of touchdowns, and that's how he makes his hay. And someone like Evan Engram is maybe the target leader and the reception leader in this offense. At the very worst, I see him as the 1B to Sutton's 1A. I think we believe in Nix. We believe in Harvey. We believe in this offense. I think Ingram's going to be heavily involved. I like him more than Travis Kelce, who's the tight end 6. I like him more than Mark Andrews, who's the tight end 7. And I like him more than everyone who's drafted after him, including Jonnu Smith at the tight end 9. All respect to Jonnu. this is a smash pick for me. If I miss the top 3, I'm getting Evan Engram wherever I can. Please tell me, with Bo Nix being a Bo Lever, that you agree with me.
Hell yeah, we are in, bro. Absolutely. Like, he's one of the examples of guys that you can just relax. It's calm. You didn't get Trey McBride. You didn't get Bowers. It's cool. It's fine. You didn't want to pay that hefty price. The ninth round does sound expensive to an extent, but if you handle business in those first 8 rounds and you secure your tight end 1 in the ninth round, boy, you were looking at a very stacked squad. If you keep everything clean through those first 8 rounds and he lands in your lap, I'm even willing to reach in that 8th round if I feel like he's not going to make it back to me. That's how confident I am in Evan Engram. If he stays healthy, he's in a system with a quarterback that can get him the ball, and Sean Payton has the evidence of having success with his tight ends. It just didn't happen in Denver because he didn't have the personnel. He didn't even have the running backs to even execute a proper running game. Didn't have the quarterback. He has all these things intact. And look, Denver's defense, listen, boy, They're going to be something else again this season because, boy, that pass rush, that secondary, it's going to keep them in games, and Denver needs to be the team to watch out. And that's why us fantasy managers, we want pieces of good teams. We want that type of upside. So Evan Engram, boy, he could definitely be a top five lock. Now, let's get to our last guy. No, go ahead.
Just really quick, because we've talked about DraftKings best ball. they're our sponsor for this show. I'm going to throw this out there. When you're looking, when you're playing best ball and you're looking to stack, stacking entire offenses is very valuable. And when you're doing that, one of the best things to do is to stack an offense that will be really good, but also that is not priced that way because they haven't necessarily been that, but you're projecting a breakout. I think the Denver offense is the best, best ball stacking offense to target in all of the NFL this year. If I can get Bo Nix, Evan Ingram, Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims, and RJ Harvey in a best ball draft, and that offense takes a step that I believe that it will, all of a sudden you're looking at, I mean, that's just a locked in 15 mil, let's be honest. Sign me up.
Sign me up. We about to get the yacht, the helicopter when we cash in on this contest, baby. Listen, that is going to be a lock, man. I cannot wait to get a piece of this offense in these drafts. Now, for our last tight end. Now, I hold him close to heart. I like to protect him. Like, I don't want to be too loud about him. I just kind of want him to break out and get the opportunity. But I just don't know if that's going to be the case with this offense being so spread out. But Tucker Kraft, tight end 13, the 12th round. Are you in or are you out?
Oh, boy. I might. We had such a nice strong run there with Evan Ingram and the Broncos offense. I think we might have problems here. We might be ending the show a little rocky, Laquan. I am mad out on Tucker.
Oh, and mad out. Jeez.
Let me be clear. Let me be clear. I like Tucker Kraft as a player. I liked him as a, you know, sleeper tight end last year, and he was good. However, he was largely good with Luke Musgrave out. He got injured and disappeared. I think a lot of us are very quick to forget that they drafted Luke Musgrave higher than they drafted Tucker Kraft. And in their rookie seasons together, they posted basically the exact same numbers. And then Tucker Kraft had a big breakout with Luke Musgrave missing. Beyond the return of Luke Musgrave, we also have the addition of Matthew Golden, a first-round wide receiver, a legitimate mouth to feed, and all the other secondary, tertiary guys there who will demand targets in some capacity. The big difference is, like, we said a lot of that latter part last year because there were all these other guys. Wicks, Dobbs, Watson when he's ever healthy. Even Josh Jacobs catches passes. But all of that still exists, and now we have a guy, a number one, who was drafted in the first round who might be able to, you know, soak up a legitimate number one, I'm making air quotes for those who are not watching on the YouTubes, target share. That, to me, that means I don't see how Tucker Kraft's target total doesn't come down. He saw 70 last year. On those 70 targets, you remember earlier when I was talking about touchdown outliers and how I'm writing this article series? He scored 7 touchdowns on 70 targets. That is a 10% touchdown rate. That is completely unsustainable unless you are literally one man, Rob Gronkowski. Tucker Kraft is not Rob Gronkowski. He is not going to maintain this target to touchdown conversion rate, and I don't think he's even going to maintain the targets with the return of Musgrave and the addition of Golden. So I think this is just all bad news bears all around for Kraft. I think his upside disappears and he becomes like a run of the mill tight end 2, maybe a low end tight end 2 at the price he's going of tight end 13, which is basically like borderline tight end 1. I have basically no interest. I might take Ferguson over him straight up. I would take Kincaid over him. Yeah. I take Ingram in less than half a second over him. It's not even close. So sorry, Tucker. Sorry, Laquan, if you're in, but I am extremely out on Tucker Kraft this year.
Nah, man, I'm out. I'm out because I'm out for many reasons, but I love Tucker Kraft. I love him because of the talent that he possesses. He's a yak guy. And if you get a tight end that has the ability to get the yards after the catch like he does, boy, I just remember that Rams game, him running up the sideline, bouncing off for 3 of our guys and getting to the end zone. Like, I've seen this guy do things where it's like the potential is there. The tight end one potential is there in his DNA. I just don't know if the Packers will allow this to happen with Luke Musgrave likely to return back to cut into those shares, to cut into that snap percentage. And this offense is unpredictable. I can't see that he replicates him getting that 70 targets again, even though Jordan Love looked very good targeting him. He had 130 passer rating. He had the highest total EPA when targeting him. So it's like one of these things. It's one of your most reliable targets with a 72% catch rate. So he has reliable hands. Why can't we just lean into him being the tight end one for him to take on the mantle to help us fantasy managers out there to be able to get a gem like this in the 12th round? But for all those reasons you explain, it's not set in stone that these opportunities are there for him. It's not set in stone that he'll see that type of touchdown percentage compared to where he's going to be, you know, with Luke Musgrave this next season. So, boy, we are out on Tucker Kraft. Why did we end the show so sour, bro? Like, this is going to have me.
I was gonna say you mentioned someone earlier we were gonna maybe add to the rundown. We could talk
This but brings it up. Let's go.
It's not gonna brighten anything up. No.
Yes, it is. I get to vent. What is wrong with you? You want Kyle Pitts on your roster?
No, let's be clear. I do not like Kyle Pitts this year. I mean, okay, I kind of like Kyle Pitts. I've always liked Kyle Pitts. I'm not saying draft Kyle Pitts. All I'm saying is draft him instead of Dallas Goedert, because at least Kyle Pitts maybe, even if that chance has reduced to 1%, there is that 1% chance that he could break out to be the tight end one, let alone a tight end one. Dallas Goedert has 0% chance of doing that. If I'm taking someone really late like that, I'd rather it be someone who can break out, but let's just be very clear. Let's not get it confused or twisted. I am in no way suggesting to draft Kyle Pitts. I'd rather go for someone like Jake Ferguson in a similar range. Listen, I'm just saying.
If you're leaving the draft board with Kyle Pitts, I am calling the police. He needs to be institutionalized. He needs to be in a facility, and he needs like AA meetings. There is something going wrong upstairs if you're drafting Kyle Pitts this year. I don't even care about the opportunity he has to be a tight end one with Michael Penix Jr. We've seen a very small sample size, and the sample size that we've seen from Kyle Pitts is a very ish show. I'm just going to say it's a bag of poop. He is in the satchel of discontent. Do you know what the satchel of discontent is, Matt Okada? It's where all the OGs live. Trevor Mid-Lawrence, Chris Olave, and Kyle Pitts. They are the OGs of the satchel of discontent. Do not draft these players because you will have a headache. And I don't like zombies on the bench, Okada. I don't want guys collecting dust on my bench, and I'm waiting for that one week I can plug him in. No. Why do that to yourself? There's enough anxiety every Sunday setting your lineup trying to figure out if they're going to put up points this week. You don't want to do that with a guy that has proven to hurt you. It's like, it's the terrible ex. It's the ex that you just need to leave alone, bro. Stop. Don't go back, bro. She did all that stuff. She threw all your stuff out, bro. Like, why are you going back? She did you dirty. Why? And it's like, you look your boy in the face and like, bro, what's wrong with you? And then you just see like, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like that. Come on. No, don't suggest to the fantasy streets that Kyle Pitts needs to come off the board. Let him live and breathe on the waiver wire. Let him earn a roster spot, man. I am not losing sleep over no Kyle Pitts, bro. Not doing it. I'm sorry.
Just for the record, I'm just going to put this out there. The fact that we have all given up on Kyle Pitts means this is going to be the year he actually breaks. That's just how fantasy works, my guy. We stuck to him. We were like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It never happened. Now we all give up and abandon
shit. You know what? I had that same belief in Irv, Swerve, and Smith. Ooh. Irv Smith. I had that same feeling, and it just did not happen. It was a gut punch to see that it never came to fruition. He is one of the examples of like, man, we just got to take what we get. It's right there in front of us. It's not going to happen, man. Oh, my God. Okada, this has been a great show. I'm glad we ended up on a good note, because there should be an understanding out there in the fantasy streets. It's never going to be Kyle Pitts season. I can talk in absolutes about this. I don't care to be wrong. Hit me in the ads at Real Deal Fantasy, wherever you want to do. FTN Fantasy is where you'll see all the great content, man. Fire content only. Matt Okada, this has been a great show, man. I love doing this with you, bro. On to the next episode, man. We got to figure out what we're going to do, man, because we already finished out the in or we out with the QB tight ends. And if you were listening, jump back to the wide receivers and running backs as well. And also, man, the Me, Myself, and Irene performance by Matt Okada setting up the case is making the case for some of these guys that we are talking about this season, man. Whew, boy, it's been a hell of a show, man. Thank you guys for rocking with us, and make sure you tap in to the next episode to the FTN Fantasy Show.
See ya.